The Super Fantastic Show is brought to you by eatingforabs.com. Visit Eating for Abs for guidance on all of your nutrition and weight loss needs. That's eatingforabs.com. The show is also brought to you by coffeewithradi.com, where you'll find books by judo Olympian and four-time national champion Dr. Roddy Ferguson. Hey, what's up? This is Coach B. Welcome to the Super Fantastic Show.
Super Fantastic
Show. We're going to use this show to talk about a couple key things. Importantly, last week in hip-hop, we lost one of the greats, Five Dog from A Tribe Called Quest. And I want to use this opportunity to talk about the influence of A Tribe Called Quest on hip-hop, as well as the impact of diabetes on our families. So I've asked a bunch of friends of mine to join us in this show to give their experience and share a few moments on one of those two topics. It's one of my favorite shows. This is a big deal to me because hip-hop is a big part of my childhood, my teenage years, my college years, and A Tribe Called Quest was a big part of that. Additionally, diabetes has had a profound impact on my family and on my life. It's one of the reasons that I established Eating for Abs, the ultimate nutrition course, and because my wife and I have children, we do everything in our power to take care of ourselves and make wellness a high priority so that the pain that comes with illness in the family and disease is something that we will minimize in the lives of our kids. So we think it's a big deal. This show is one of my absolute favorites. The people on here are very close friends of mine, and I asked them personally to join me for this show and to share their experience. And I think that you'll find a lot of fun stuff, a lot of commonality in your experience, and a shared passion for both hip hop and wellness. Thanks for joining us. Take a listen.
Hi, this is Kamal Harris. I wanted to share a little story about Fife Dawg. You know, obviously, last week when they made that announcement that he passed, it was definitely a blow to hip-hop. When I was younger, I grew up in the Bronx, and there was a bus that would go straight from the Bronx in my neighborhood where I lived in Parkchester, straight out to Queens. It was called the Q44 bus. I would go out there to see one of my good friends, like a brother to me, name is Lewis Codrington. This was had to be in the mid-80s, maybe like 84, 85, maybe 86. But what was so ironic was that Malik Taylor, Fife Dawg, and my partner Lou, they shared their backyards. They lived in St. Albans, Queens. So when I would go see Lou, we would all go out, play football or basketball. And at the time, obviously, I didn't know Malik was Fife, but I knew who he was. Fast forward years later, this group comes out, right? Tribe Called Quest. And then Lou was like, come on, you know, that's Malik. I was like, Malik is rhyming with these guys. So, I mean, what could I say about Tribe? Tribe was one of the premier groups. These guys, when Q-Tip and these guys came out and started putting those beats together, they were like so musical. They had a whole different style of hip hop because their music to me, first of all, a lot of people are very, very much into lyrics. And I love lyrics if the lyricist is hot. But I really am moved in hip hop by the music, and Tribe had it. Obviously, I know what I'm about to say is going to cause some debate, but it's just my personal feeling about the Tribe Called Quest albums. To me, I think the Midnight Marauders was the hottest of all the Tribe albums. And I'm not saying that to say that Low End Theory wasn't hot, because if I had to probably pick 10 top albums in hip-hop, I might put Low End Theory in there. But Midnight Marauders was just so absolutely crazy to me. You know, I remember Fife in one of his records, he referred to himself as the funky diabetic. I thought that was hot. But at the same time, you know, diabetes is very prevalent in my family on my father's side. And when I was younger, I could remember older family members saying, my sugar was high. You know, I could tell when it's flaring up because the rain is out and my ankle's getting tight or something. And I would laugh. I didn't really know what that meant. But Black people and really everybody, but I'm just saying this specifically to Black people because we have a tendency to love to eat that good food. And I love it, too. but some slight dietary modifications will really help you keep that in check. If you do make those modifications in your diet, it could really, really help you out. The diabetes, the high blood pressure, the cholesterol, some of the things that just take us out so quickly can be prevented through a dietary change. RIP to Fife Dawg. Big up. Respect to Tribe Called Quest.
Over the years, when asked who my main influences were, it's always been a mixture of Stevie Wonder, Commission, and A Tribe Called Quest. Was pretty much what I put in a bowl musically when I try to create. You can hear that in my albums, from the very first one to the most recent one. And that's growing up in Jersey, growing up in hip hop, and listening to all those amazing influences, but also singing in church and, you know, loving R&B and rock and roll and house music. Just, you know, New Jersey was such a very equal balance of music. So when it came time for me to start creating music, how do I incorporate all these things that I love into what I'm trying to create? I think Tribe Called Quest was the missing piece out of that nucleus for me, because it was the first time in hip hop that I heard music that I would want to sing to. And they were building music off of my main influences. Before that, you know, say UTFO, EPMD, LL Cool J, Slick Rick, all these artists that I love tremendously. But I wanted to rap to that stuff. But how do I create my music? How do I create something that I can sing over? And it was when I heard Tribe Called Quest, not just from their beats that they made, but just how their rhyme flow is very melodic over the beats as well. Not from a singing standpoint, but just from a spacing standpoint and just matching the synergy of just how amazing the music was. So that's the main thing, man. And, you know, I try to pay homage to A Tribe Called Quest, Fife Dawg, Q-Tip, Ali, Shaheed, Muhammad, and Jarobi with every song I do. And you can just listen to my records and tell that. So, man, rest in peace, Fife Dawg. God bless A Tribe Called Quest. This is Eric Roberson, and I'm out.
Hard, probably impossible to choose one Tribe Called Quest favorite song or even one defining Tribe moment. So many of their songs, as cliche as it sounds, truly played like a soundtrack to our youth. We sort of grew up with them and in a lot of ways matured with Tribe. I think it's probably, you know, how it is for some of the greats. Each song rendered a certain emotion, a feeling, a season. I can remember when Check the Rhyme dropped. I still remember the video. They were standing on top of a building on Linden Boulevard in Queens with the crowd gathered below them. But the feeling that that video and that song gave was kind of like, you know, you were a part of the party, you were a part of that crowd. It could have been any boulevard, could have been right down the street from you. It felt close, you know? And I feel like this is when Fife really introduced himself to a wider world. Tip had kind of been the face of Tribe, but here came Fife, blaring onto the scene, you know, almost trumpet style. He was sharp and edgy. And he definitely appealed to those of us who grew up with West Indian music. I'm all that and then some, short, dark, and handsome, busting up inside your eye to show you where I come from. Yeah! And we were like, wait, did he just say bust a nut inside your eye? They couldn't really be categorized, you know? They weren't what rap expected at that time. And they spoke to us. They weren't necessarily political. They weren't angry. They weren't any extreme, really. They seemed like guys you could hang out with. They seemed like us, even. They weren't trying to be anything but who they really were, and we connected with them. And we connected through them. It's hard to explain, but I don't know of any other group that touched us like Tribe did.
I got hip to Tribe when they had Left My Wallet and El Segundo running on MTV and BET every day. You know what I'm saying? And then they had a guy in the group, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, which, you know, we got the same name. So it was kind of like an automatic connection. So I automatically wanted to know more about him. So when the album dropped and they had this joint on there called Footprints, you know what I'm saying? That was a hard beat to me, you know what I'm saying? Had just three dope samples and just that hard, you know, I guess it's James Brown, but whatever, that shit was hitting. And then, you know, so moving forward, like, and they just became a part of my universe because of the name thing, you know? And in college, when we got our first apartment, like that album, The Low End Theory dropped, and it was off the chain. That was probably the greatest year in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? You had Low End Theory. You had, you know what I'm saying? You had all the, on the other end of the spectrum, you had all the Luke stuff. You had The Bitch Better Have My Money, AMG. You had Ghetto Boys and Mind Playing Tricks and that whole album. You had DJ Quick album came out there. It was just a lot of great music. So it's a great soundtrack going into your first little taste of adulthood and wilding out. But with Ali Shaheed Muhammad, you know what I'm saying? When I first moved to New York, you know, because we had the same name, it caused us a little, you know, we crossed paths in theory a lot. You know, it was before Uber. You know, we had this car service called Music Express that was, you know, like the, you know, the high-end car service that, you know, always on point, always on time. And I had a trip, and so I had to go to the airport. My car was supposed to be there. And I'm calling them like, yo, the car's out front. I'm like, nah, the car's not out front. And then, you know, a little back and forth, we find out the car was in Jersey in front of Ali Shaheed Muhammad's house. And that happened a couple of times. So it, another time, I was in a hotel at a music conference, and I get a, you know, loud-ass hotel phone ring early in the morning. And I'm like, hello. It's like, Ali, why are you not downstairs? I'm like, who is this? I'm not supposed to be downstairs. Like, come on, stop fucking playing. You know, why are you not downstairs? And we go back and forth and realize, okay, she's talking to the wrong person. But we ended up getting real cool, having a long conversation. And she also worked with Rafael Sadiq. And so I've done a lot of projects with him because of that mix up. and we, you know, just got a good friend out of the situation. So shout out to Annette Charvet, you know what I'm saying, for mixing up those rooms.
A Tribe Called Quest was ever present in my youth. It was like their music grew up and matured with me and my sister. One memory I have is of me as a high school kid going from my home in Connecticut to New York City's Tower Records down on Broadway and East 4th and buying The Low End Theory. To this day, when I hear Tribe's music, just like that, I'm transported back to high school or college, and my associations with them are always positive, always happy. Hearing their music will forever put a smile on my face and trigger a contented head nod. Rest in peace, Fife Dawg.
This is not some fake, I love this dude now that he's gone. I have loved Fife Dawg since I first discovered him when I was in the 10th grade in Cincinnati, Ohio, deep in the suburbs, closer to Kentucky than we were to Cincinnati, had no cable, had no black friends. My brother and I used to go to the mall, the record store, every Tuesday with our allowance money and devour everything that came through the rap section. We discovered A Tribe Called Quest, again, when I was about in the 10th grade, and I immediately fell just head over heels in love with Fife. I don't know if it was because he was short. I don't know if it was because of his little raspy voice, like my raspy voice, but I immediately related to him. I remember thinking a lot about him in my honors English classes, and we talked about similes and metaphors and verbal imagery, and I just think that Fife was the first, maybe, or I guess maybe the best who did, you know, all of that so well. His, you know, as he says, styles upon styles upon styles. He could do it all. He made everything so real. And this is during the golden age of hip hop. So everybody had dope lyrics. It's not that their lyrics were necessarily the dopest, but as a group, the way that they co-signed each other and bantered back and forth within a verse, the way they replicated each other's lyrics, the way they gave lyrical high fives. It was just truly something to behold. I'm so grateful that I have been able to witness Fife Dawg, Q-Tip, Ali in my lifetime. I'm so sad about this devastating loss. Despite knowing that Fife had been battling diabetes for quite some time, I think after I saw him perform on The Tonight Show a few months ago, I thought, wow, they're okay. So he's good. They can tour now. I can see them again. The last time I saw them was at Rock the Bells, and he was actually great. He was definitely on point. It was a long outdoor concert, and Lauryn Hill was up, and in true Lauryn Hill fashion, was extremely late. They tried to keep the show in order. She was extremely late. The crowd was upset. It was hot. It was August, D.C. And, you know, nobody was happy. They had prepared her stage, waited, took her stage down, came back and set up whoever the next group was going to be. And it turned out to be Tribe Called Quest. We knew they were there, we just didn't know what order anybody was coming in. Anyway, they came on stage, everybody was mean mugging them, and Fife said, look, y'all ain't mad at us, we didn't do it, we came to rock the house, and they did. And that just broke the ice, and from that point on, they just put on an amazing show. I cried when I saw Beats, Rhymes, and Life. And I cried again when I saw them on The Tonight Show, but they were happy tears. And I cried early this morning when I saw that there was no more Fife here on this earth. Rest in power, Fife.
Hello, this is Dr. Ferguson, and I have one question for you. Can I kick it? Yes, you can. Can we kick diabetes? This is a question. Recently, one of our favorite rappers, Fife Dawg, that used to rap with Tribe Called Quest, passed away of diabetes. Now, the question is, can we kick it? Yes, we can. If we espouse a healthy diet, if we increase the amount of exercise that we do, and we keep a normal body weight, we can actually kick diabetes. But if we don't take some personal responsibility for the foods that we put in our mouths, for the lack of exercise that we have, and for the extra weight that we are carrying, then we can't kick our current problem. Even in this 12-step process of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Being overweight is a problem. Overeating is a problem. The lack of knowledge about what to eat is a problem. First and foremost, the problem that you can definitely see is the one that you look at in the mirror. When you strip down and you look at yourself in the mirror, the question is not if you are fat or if you are skinny. That is not the question you need to ask. The question is, are you overweight? Not if you are a heavyweight. The question is, are you over the weight that you believe or know that you should be? It's not about a BMI. It's not about a body mass index. The question is, when you strip down and you look at yourself in the mirror, you have to ask yourself the question, am I over weight. It's not a matter if you're beautiful, if you're pretty, or if you love yourself. Those are the issues. The question is, when I look in the mirror, am I overweight? It's not a matter of self-hate. It's not about somebody trying to fat shame you. It's not about any of those things. The question is, are you overweight? And if you look in the mirror and you have that conversation with yourself and you identify that you are overweight, then it's only one thing to do, is to create some behavior change to fix that particular issue. Now, if you look at your plate and you're looking at the things that you should eat, all you have to ask yourself is this a quality decision? Not about how much money I make or what type of food. Is this a quality decision? When you grab a lollipop, before you put it in your mouth, you have to ask yourself, is this a quality decision? Before you sit down and eat a half a gallon or a pint of ice cream or the butter pecan, or you line up a Cold Stone, or you grab the popcorn in line with the Coke and the Twizzlers, and you sit down in the movie, you have to ask yourself, is this a quality decision? Before you go to the barbecue joint and you order the half a slab of ribs and the sausage with the hot barbecue sauce and the macaroni and cheese along with the cornbread, and you sit down and you ask for another piece of cornbread, and then you want some sweet potato pie, and then you want to wash it all down with sweet tea, you have to, is this a quality decision? And if it's not a quality decision, then just make a decision to just kick it, because yes, you can. So then you have to ask yourself, have I exercised today outside of what I was supposed to do, outside of just the walking that I'm doing at work, outside of walking to my car, outside of walking to the bus, outside of work? Have I done anything outside of my normal life, my normal activities, that would equate to about 30 to 45 minutes for exercise? Have I done that? Ask yourself the question. Before you get ready to lay down in bed at night, ask yourself, have I done 30 minutes of specific exercise for the purpose to make myself better and healthy? Ask yourself that question. I had one client one time told me that it was too dark outside. She couldn't walk at night. I said, well, do you have a door, a front door? She said, yes. I said, do you have a wall? She said, yes. I said, and walk for 30 minutes in between the door and the wall back and forth. She sucked her teeth and then she got off the phone. And I said, and I text her and I said, make sure you call me when it's done. Because the question is, can I kick it? And the answer is yes, you can. But you have to ask yourself these particular questions. Are you overweight? Are you making quality decisions? Have you done the 30 minutes of exercise outside of your normal activities for the day? Have you done that? These are the things that you need to ask yourself. And although that these things aren't medicinal properties that will eliminate every case of diabetes ever on the planet, they will move us or nudge us into the right direction to healthier living and a healthier lifestyle. Because almost everyone who finds out that they have diabetes, they change their eating habits. And just imagine if they were to change their eating habits before. They possibly could have kicked it. And the question is, can you kick it? And I'm Dr. Ferguson. I'm here to tell you, yes, you can.
Hello, my name is Dr. Tracy Ferguson, and I'm an internal medicine physician, and I've spent many years educating my patients, friends, and family how to recognize the signs and symptoms of diabetes, ways we can prevent diabetes, and how to make healthy choices when it comes to eating and living. Unfortunately, my younger brother was diagnosed with diabetes at the tender age of 28, but like many people, was likely undiagnosed for up to 5 years before that time. Type 2 diabetes often runs in families, and if you have a first-degree relative with diabetes, are overweight, and if you're a woman and you had diabetes while you were pregnant, you're at higher risk of becoming diabetic. My brother, I admit, didn't eat the healthiest diet, and he didn't have insurance, so he didn't get regular checkups. The last time I saw him, it was Mother's Day, almost 3 years ago. My family was in Washington, D.C., celebrating my graduation from Howard University's Executive MBA program. And he was there, And this time I saw him, he was in pain. He was moving slowly. And I come to find out that he had another foot ulcer and was scheduled to have a toe amputation. He still was trying to get his medications, going to the health clinic as he could, but his diabetes still remained uncontrolled. And he, over the years, had developed poor circulation in the foot. He had lack of sensation and had frequent ulcers of his toes and poor wound healing. My husband, Dr. Roddy Ferguson, helped change the bandage of his toe the evening before we left. And that was the last time I would see my brother alive. Less than 2 months later, my brother Billy was hospitalized with worsening kidney function after he had his great toe amputated. Fortunately, he died in his sleep, and at long last, he was at peace. There was going to be no more pain and no more suffering. Diabetes is a devastating disease, but it doesn't have to be that way. Talk to your doctor. Find out if you're at risk for diabetes. You may already have diabetes or pre-diabetes. Make the necessary changes in the way you eat and the way you live. Make the change together with your family because, again, this affects so many families. Encourage those around you to eat and live healthier. We don't always know the inner struggles of people, their illnesses. It could be diabetes. It could be high blood pressure. So be encouraging and supportive. Diabetes should not be a death sentence. Let it be a wake-up call. Thank you.
Break you're done, run a world tour with Mr. Malcolm McLean. We're going each and every place, including Spain, Asia, Africa, Tokyo, Mexico.
When you listen to the, you know, to low end, you know, you hear, you know, the bass drop, you know, the Ron Carter bass drop, or you hear like the other bass drop for Bugging Out, you know, you think about the videos, but you, it's like, is nothing dated, you know, scenario remix. You know, Hot Sex on the Platter. Everything is just like, it's just Tribe. And that's the flow. And that's like, and it's hip hop, you know, period. Like, you know, if you, you know, want to send something out in space and give like what something to represent what hip hop is, you send that, you send Tribe. You send, you know, Low End Theory.
Hello, my name is John Butler, AKA DJ John Doe. My story is about diabetes, and at one of my former places of employment, I had a staff of about 22 people with whom I managed, and I was speaking to them just about health and wellness. About a couple months prior, unfortunately, my brother-in-law at the tender age of about 44 had passed away unexpectedly due to some health complications. So needless to say, I was promoting health and wellness to my staff. This one individual in particular went to the physician and got a checkup, and literally his demeanor had changed when he came back. Subdued, very introverted now. This individual was, I would say, early 50s, a little overweight, but nothing ridiculous. Unfortunately, this was diabetes. His perception was that diabetes was a death sentence. And I don't know where he got this advice from, but again, he just changed in demeanor. Fast forward to the day that he found out, and you know, maybe 2 or 3 months later, this individual had cut his leg, and he did not treat it. He did not wrap the wound. He did not do anything that an individual with diabetes should do, and subsequently, this wound did not heal, and unfortunately, it was to his demise. His condition became worse and worse, and he attempted to wrap the wound and did not go to the hospital and seek medical attention, but continued to come to work. And I had a meeting with him and said that, you know, you really can't work in this condition. And then I had to go back to my superiors at the HR department and advise them what was going on. And they said to me that I basically had to force this individual to go to get medical attention. Gave him time off, which I did, and instructed him to go to the hospital and followed up with him every day. He would not return my phone calls, and then his friend went to check on him after about a week and a half, 2 weeks that we didn't get any callback, and goes to his place and finds this guy laying on the floor, which meant that he had passed out, laying on the floor. The wound was definitely infected. I believe gangrene was setting in, and this individual had his leg amputated from the knee down. And then this was just a downward spiral, and within a month this individual had passed away. Now that's just such a traumatic story, and for me to witness and see live what can happen within a multiple month period. But you know, you go and you get a physical and you get some information, and then you just don't act on it, and you perceive that it's a death sentence, which unfortunately it didn't have to be. 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 Didn't have to be.
The Super Fantastic Show.
The Super Fantastic Show is brought to you by eatingforabs.com. Visit Eating for Abs for guidance on all of your nutrition and weight loss needs. That's eatingforabs.com. The show is also brought to you by coffeewithradi.com, where you'll find books by judo Olympian and four-time national champion Dr. Roddy Ferguson.